are Portsmouth Community Radio. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Local Folk, the radio program that aims to bring together people that are in the local community that are participating in one way or another in music, music or other things that make folk culture happen. These are the people that are making folk culture happen. And as you may have guessed, we have, I actually have two guests with me today who I'm going to introduce in just a minute after I do some announcements and this and that, but blues players, and I'm really, really looking forward to that. So let's just get on with some of this other stuff, and then we can go on with the program. Here's the weather, according to the, I think it is time to introduce my guest or guests this evening, as it is. The song that we heard rolling in was a blues song. It was sort of an adaptation. I have two people with me today. I have poor Howard Stith and Mike Bullfrog Rogers, and they've been working together for a while. They've made a couple CDs. They have a new CD right here called Going Home. They are local folk now, but they weren't always. And, you know, Howard and Mike, welcome to Local Folk Radio Show.
Thanks for having us in.
Yes. Let's start with poor Howard. I read online that that wasn't because of your bad jokes.
Actually, it was another musician out in Minneapolis who tagged me with the name Poor Howard because I was doing Lead Belly songs at the time. And that is an old Lead Belly song. The original Poor Howard was a blind fiddler in the 1880s. Okay. And not much is known of him beyond that.
Okay.
But
a blind fiddle player, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, very interesting. See, in Irish music, they had Turlough O'Carolan, blind harper.
Harper, yeah. But, Papa John Colstead tagged me with the name Poor Howard. I tagged him with the name Papa John, and neither of us have been able to shake him in 40 years, so there it is.
Hey, that's not bad. I told somebody today, I said, I have Howard Stith coming on. Stith?
Yeah.
Okay, Howard Stith coming on, and he, I said, I don't know about that. I said, poor Howard. Goes, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's been doing coffee houses and things like that around here and playing the blues for a really long time. I said, well, that's great. How long have you been here?
I've been here about 30 years now.
30 years?
30 years. I was living in San Francisco, came on tour in 1983. Yeah, it was 83.
I want to
and got a summer rental in Durham, getting ready to leave in the fall. And one of my housemates said, "Well, we're getting this house in Dover. We have an extra bedroom if you're interested." Checked out Dover and haven't left.
Unbelievable! But you weren't born in San Francisco, though.
I was born in Kansas City, raised on a farm in Iowa, then moved up to St. Paul. That's where I learned the blues.
Were you raised on a working farm?
I was.
Okay, so this is a farm. It wasn't just land or whatever. So you went off and...
These hands play a 12-string guitar because I milked cows as a kid. They're that big.
That's what I wanted to know. That's what I wanted to know. Okay, so you weren't just raised on... It wasn't like you were staying at the farm.
No.
You were out there milking cows.
Yep.
And what else?
Weeding the fields.
Weeding the fields.
I was a farmer.
You were
a farmer. I was a farm boy, and I did all the farm work.
You were a farm boy, and you did all the farm work. Wow. Is it up at the crack of dawn with the rooster and just like they would
Usually
say,
just or? Ahead of the rooster.
Just ahead of the rooster. If you heard the rooster, you were late.
Yeah.
Do you think that had an influence on your music?
Oh, absolutely, because, you know, working the fields, you start to understand the work hollers, the field songs. In the blues, I didn't grow up with those songs, but I knew exactly where those songs came from.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you were, let's just say, on the farm, were you singing? I mean, was there any music at that time that was happening, or
mostly? Yeah, I'd hear records from the 40s and 50s that my parents had. And I was mentioning earlier, the first song I ever learned was Goodnight Irene by Lead Belly. So that sort of started me down the Lead Belly track.
Okay, okay.
I was about five.
When you were about five. Okay, so, you know, so music has been a part of your life, or you've had a passion for music at least since you were five.
Oh, yeah.
And for the blues especially, and Lead Belly, you really liked. Did your folks like him?
Yeah, but they were more eclectic.
Okay.
That was just happenstance that we had that one on hand.
Okay. Now, that song that we were listening to on the way in was an adaptation of a work song, you said?
Well, It was an old Chain Gang song, and I heard it first on a collection of Southern Prison Blues.
Okay.
As a work song, and one night I woke up thinking, you know, just could hear the guitar part for it and decided to try it, and it seems to have worked.
It seems to work. I think it worked great. Yeah, no, it was an excellent opener. And we're going to listen to some more of this CD, which is looking really nice. It's called Going Home, and it's with the two of you. Mike, when did you start working with old poor Howard here?
Well, actually, we've been together about 4 years, but we met 30 years ago. I was working with songwriter John Perreault, and we did a concert, I think it was in Rochester, with
the Rochester Arts,
with Howard. And at that time, when I met Howard, we talked and we said, gee, we ought to do blues together sometime. And it only took 30 years to get together, 25 anyway.
Yeah.
So now, in terms of style, did you have a similar style to begin with, or did you tell me about that?
I think we did, actually, because Howard, you know, is he's so authentic in his playing of Delta blues, I think. And I was, my idol was always Sonny Terry, with Sonny Terry and Brownie McGee, which is kind of down-home blues, acoustic. And so when we came together, it was, you know, it was something I always wanted to do that kind of, have this kind of a duo. And yeah, it was just perfect anyway for me.
Just worked out great for you guys. Because I wanted to ask, well, first, actually, why don't you give us something? Can you give us something live here in the studio?
Sure.
Play something for us, and then we'll chat about that in a minute.
But we're going to see.
Going to see.
Hill City. Well, we've talked about doing an old Lead Belly song about New York City, but since I mentioned Papa John Kolstad, this is actually one that people seem to really like. It's one that John wrote called the Mill City Blues, about Minneapolis, because Minneapolis is the home. It's called the Mill City. It's the home of General Mills, who you may remember was the general who kept the rebels out of Minnesota during the Civil War, or something like that.
Also made Wheaties.
I thought it was the cereal.
It is. Anyway, so the song's about the fact that until recently you couldn't buy alcohol on Sunday.
Oh.
And some people have had really bad Saturday nights because of that.
They sure have.
So this is the Mill City Blues.
Excellent.
Oh. I woke this morning, looked all around for some booze. I wanted to get drunk. I woke this morning, looked all around for some booze. That's when I realized I had these mean old Mill City blues. Well, I laid down last night, Lord, but I could not sleep. I laid down last night, Lord, but I could not sleep. Oh, my mind was wandering, my thoughts were sinking deep. Yes, my mind was wandering back to days of long ago. Oh, my mind was wandering back to days of long ago. I was thinking about my woman and how she don't love me no more. So I went to the river, believe that I'm going to drown. Mississippi River, that is. I went to the river, believe that I'm going to drown. Jump off the Franklin Avenue Bridge when I thought about my baby. Lord, I just turned around, go walk down to Cedar Riverside, all barrel house at Mike. It takes a long, tall woman to make this blue-eyed boy feel fine. You know my eyes are blue. It takes a long, tall woman to make this blue-eyed boy feel fine. Oh, the reason that I love her so is 'cause I know she'll be mine. But I woke this this morning and looked all around for some booze. Said I woke this morning and looked all around for some booze. Lord, that's when I realized I had these mean old Mill City blues. The Mill City Blues.
Nice. Hey, that was great. I mean, I felt like I was listening to a CD. You know, you know what I like about good music is when there's only a few instruments, and yet they seem multiplied because of how well they go together. And that's what I was hearing.
Yes.
You guys. Yeah, real nice. You know what else I like about that song? The asides. you know what I'm saying? When you... I don't know. What do you call that?
Well, I have to explain the song as I go along to people who haven't been there. You know?
they? yeah. No, but you do. You have to let them know, right?
Well,
I think it's a good idea.
You'll actually find that in a lot of old blues songs. There'll be little commentaries thrown in. I like that.
I like that. Yeah, I definitely like that. I mean, that was one of the things that I thought was good about it. I think that it added added to the storytelling element of the song. What is it about blues that was originally appealing to you? I don't think I asked you exactly. I mean, was it just, I don't think people ask that, do they? Is it just normal? It's so natural, but there must be something.
Yeah, part of it is the rhythms, you know, that, you know, I grew up with 50s rock and roll, which came out of rhythm and blues, which came out of blues. I just sort of, you know, I guess rolled it backwards. And when I found the old Delta blues, I just said, wow, that's it. You know, that's the syncopated rhythms. There are guitar pieces I've heard that I can't begin to figure out how one person played that. And just fascinated by that.
So it's a. Was there something when you were listening to rock music? Did you like it?
Buddy Holly and the Crickets. I mean, Buddy Holly was God. When so yeah, and then you know that's when the music died. They were right.
I go back even a little further, right. I think, because when I was like in junior high school, we used to listen to a station. I grew up in Los Angeles, and we had a station out of Watts that played rhythm and blues, which was really all out of the African-American community. And that's what rock and roll came out of, you know, was that rhythm and blues, which came from the blues. And there's just so much emotion in it, I think.
So you were listening to that before you were listening to the rock and roll and saying, right. You had a specific station. They probably didn't have that station in...
In Iowa.
They didn't
They
had them down south, and we had just that one station in all of Los Angeles, and it came out of Watts.
It was race radio. I mean, there was a definite division of what people listened to.
And yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Is like, is it something where you like get in trouble for listening to it or something, or you know, were your folks okay with that,
could.
Or did it matter? Or
my dad didn't like it at all, but I loved it. We had two disc jockeys really that did the whole. They did the whole station, and one of them was Johnny Otis, who later wrote Willie and the Hand Jive and a very well known musician.
Yeah, very cool. Okay, so you were listening to it right from the get go, and Howard, you had to say, I need to rewind here.
I sort of went from rock and roll, the early rock and roll, into folk music, and then somehow parsed that all together and backtracked into the Delta Blues. And once I found that, I just said, wow, that's it.
So what was the folk music that you were listening to? Was it part of the folk revival?
Very ethnic stuff, like Peter, Paul, and Mary. I mean, everybody started on Peter, Paul, and Mary because that was when that revival started. And then people drifted out and found the real ethnic folk music in the different directions, the British music, the Appalachian music, the blues.
Then it became
separated again.
I had my first folk album when I was 3 years old. This is back during World War II. My mother bought me, these were those old, big old, thick 78, that had one song on each side of the record. And I had Burl Ives. one of the pioneers in from the modern folk. Of course, a lot of people remember him more from the 50s when he did those things like Little Bitty Tear and and songs like that. But he actually was a pure folk singer back in the 40s, 30s.
So, okay, so you're saying that if you go further back with the Burl Ives, then you're going to find more, okay, more than the little pearly shells?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a lot more.
Really? Really? Maybe I should look at him a little bit more, because I think of the pearly shells, which I personally like. I mean, I was born in 74, though, so. So, yeah, so that's what happened is it's sort of, well, Peter Paul and Mary or somebody like Burl Ives are sort of what I would call, I mean, they're people that were able to reach out to the rest of the world and say, hey, here's folk. And then once you discover that, so they're almost like gateways or something like that.
I like the Almanac Singers and the Weavers doing international folk music and introducing people to songs that they wouldn't have heard otherwise. Chaina, 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 for example.
Now, do you guys feel that you're introducing people to this music now? First of all, what kind of music?
In a way, I guess we're reintroducing
it, yeah.
Okay, so, you know, you think that, who is your normal audience?
Do we know anybody normal?
Yeah. You know, actually, it's funny. We get young people who really like this music as well. There's a lot of people that are in their 40s, 50s. But there's a lot of young people that really love this music too. They're coming back. It comes back around, you know.
It's coming back. Would you say it's coming back around?
I think so.
I think so. We play the Barley Pub. That's a younger crowd, you know, like 20s, 30s, and
The Barley Pub.
They'll come down and catch us.
Oh yeah, blues and beer.
Oh yeah,
that beer down there at that Barley Pub. I mean, that's good stuff. Do they still have the aged beer down there? I don't know if you know about that stuff or not, but they their beer. I don't know. I used to call it just skunked. No,
they
do something really craft beers, and then they do a little crafty stuff on their own. Hey, I'd like to play something because I want to give an idea of where you're coming from, and you were kind enough to bring in something called Cultivated Blues, and I don't know who this guy is on the front cover.
That is out of print. That was about 30 years ago, in fact.
Tell me about this. 30 years ago.
I was still living in Minneapolis at the time and met this lady from Chicago, Dana Clark, who was just a phenomenal piano player. We met at a coffee house festival, sat down and did some jamming, and it sounded like we'd been playing together for 30 years. So we thought, well, we should start doing some performances together. I think this was our third and final one because I moved out here and she moved to San Antonio, Texas, and we have lost track. But it was a magic night.
Magic night. This is called Cultivated Blues.
This was with guitar and piano.
Guitar and piano. This is called Cultivated Blues, and you are backing up Dana Clark, would you say?
This was basically her song. We did it as a duo, but she's the featured performer.
Okay, and this is
piano.
At the Coffee House Extempore?
Yeah.
Oh, Coffee House Extempore. All right, we're going to listen to this, and we will be back here on Local Folk in just one moment.
Whoops.
Same old place,
sweet home.
9 3 or 9. 9 and 9 are 18. Come on, sister, don't you see what I mean?
Come on, come on.
Baby, don't you wanna go? Baby, don't you wanna go?
Back to that same old place.
Sweet home Chicago.
You are listening to Local Folk here on 106.1 FM. I'm your host, Steve Kerrigan, and I am here with poor Howard Stith and Mike Bullfrog Rogers, all right? And they are playing blues from the 1920s. We were just listening to a little bit of Howard's roots about 30 years ago, I suppose. This was a coffee house. This is the last remaining copy of a coffee house that he sang at a while back with a woman named Dana Clark. So he was telling us how he had, was listening to rock and roll, kind of backed up into folk, and then backed up even further into the Delta Blues, of which he is now playing with Mike Rogers. And they did play something live for us, and we're going to play something else off their CD. But because it is halfway through the hour, I'm just going to read a little something from our underwriters, all right? It says, let's just say that Local Folk is made possible by you, our members, and by the York Gateway Farmers Market. Locally grown veggies, baked goods, artisan crafts, just a few of the many things you'll find on Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. through October 6th. So you better get down there quick. The market is located behind the Chamber of Commerce Visitor Center in York, Maine, right off exit 7 of the main turnpike. So that's a word from our underwriters, and it's also a time that we would talk about a musical calendar. I don't have a musical calendar in front of me, but I will say that there's always a session, Irish session, down at the press room on Fridays. That's where I learned about traditional music. And hey, if anybody's interested as well, down on Thursday nights, I actually picked up a gig down on Thursday nights at the Stone Church from 6 to 9. We're doing an Irish thing down there. So I wish I had more of a calendar, but maybe you guys can help out. I only know what I'm doing. What's going on, guys?
Well, I could mention I'm in a group called Salt Rivers, a folk group, and we're going to be at the Pumpkin Fiddle Fest at the Lot Home Farm in Wells on the 22nd, which is this coming Saturday. And Howard and I are going to be at Alfredo's Italian restaurant on Route 1 in Wells a week from Saturday on the 29th.
Nice. Okay, so you're doing like a duet at an Italian place? It's not something where you go table to table and serenade people, is it?
No.
No, but we did surprise the owner by introducing the show in Italian one night.
Oh, is that right? Okay, is this a long-standing gig that you guys have sometimes?
It is.
It pretty much is. We were during the summer, well, except for November, December, it's been pretty much monthly.
Yeah, we've probably been there about 3 years now, I think. So,
so if you want to hear some in the food, tasty Italian food, then right up there.
Oh, it's great.
Now, where is I play up in Wednesdays? Wednesdays up in Wells at it looks like it's called Fale. It's an Irish place. It's a yellow place. Yep. Is that close by there?
Alfredo's is right on the junction of 1 and 109.
Okay, yeah. So we're so we're like a couple hundred yards away from each other sometimes. Hey, and here we are meeting on Local Folk, only feet from one another. And you guys are playing the blues, not just any old blues. This is a different kind of blues. This is more the Delta blues. You now have a different type of guitar in your hand.
This is a Regal Steel guitar.
Steel guitar. So it looks kind of like a Dobro?
Dobro is a brand name.
Okay.
And that was more of an echoing resonator. Mm-hmm. This was just an amplified resonator. Regal and National were the two companies that were popular in the 30s. And both went out of business. And then with the resurgence of blues, they're both back in business now and creating some really fine steel instruments.
So potentially in part because of you guys, they made an instrument for you.
Could have been.
This could be your signature model. You have to sign it. So what is it that you're going to play for us?
Well, I was mentioning I lived in St. Paul, Minnesota, and there's a road that runs through St. Paul. It starts in Thunder Bay, Ontario, then crosses the border, follows the Mississippi River right down to New Orleans and the Gulf of Mexico. Back during the 30s, 20s and 30s, the bluesmen from Clarksdale and Leland, Mississippi would travel north on Highway 61 to get to St. Louis or Memphis, Chicago. I was always perverse, so I traveled south on Highway 61. But it's a lonesome road. The 61 highway is the longest road I know. Say the 61 highway is the longest road I know. She runs from way up in Canada down to the Gulf of Mexico. I started to school one morning, threw my books down by the way. Not the right thing to do, by the way. Started to school one morning, threw my books down by the way. I wrote a letter to my teacher, said, believe I'll try old 61 today. Oh, please, Mr. Truck Driver, won't you let me ride your blinds? I said, please, Mr. Truck Driver, won't you let me ride your blinds? You don't even have to stop, just slow down and I can swing right on behind. Oh, let's go down old Highway 61 there, man. I should die before you think my time has come. I said, if I should die now before you think my time has come, want you to bury my body right by old Highway 61. Yes, you can bury my body right down by that highway side. Say you can bury my body right down by that highway side. So my old evil spirit can grab a Greyhound bus and ride. Because the 61 highway is the longest road I know. I said the 61 highway is the longest road I know. She runs from way up in Canada down to the Gulf of Mexico. Oh, let's see how far she runs. And Mr. Bullfrog. Highway 61.
That's great.
Thank you.
Very, very enjoyable. Had some swagger to it.
But it's a lonesome road.
It's a lonesome road. Boy, that sounds great together. Mike, is that what is it? You have a whole bunch of harmonicas there.
Yeah.
Is there something? Is it a special type of harmonica, or is it probably a blues harmonica?
Well,
I guess.
Actually,
different keys.
They're just different keys, and I have different brands. These are all have been customized. They have really great harp technicians now that you can get harmonicas from. That they tear them all apart and rebuild them so that they last longer, they play louder, and they you can move around easier on them. So.
Like they're souped up, sort of?
Yeah, sort of a souped up harmonica.
Yeah, I could dig that. Huh.
But
that has very rich. I thought that particular one they were playing, very rich sounding. Is that technique partially, or is it just a rich sounding instrument?
Well, it's part technique, and it's also it's a great key to do that, and it's a low, kind of a low harmonica. It gives you that nice full sound.
Yeah, definitely a full sound. Now, did you write that song, Howard?
No, it's an old traditional song. It's credited by some people to Fred McDowell, but I've found earlier versions than his, and this is sort of an amalgamation of about three different versions that I came across.
Oh, yeah, very good. Yeah, real nice. It's going to sound like a ridiculous question, but are there any happy blues songs?
Mill City Blues is kind of happy. It's a dancing song. Well, yeah, we can, sure. All right.
I'm not saying you have to play any happy blues songs. Sure. I'm just wondering, you know, I always thought of the blues because you've got the blues or something, or that's how it would be sort of caricaturized. But is it more, I guess what I'm asking is it more about yours? It sounds to me like you're a storyteller.
And a lot of the old blues are storytelling songs.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain it really. There's that crossover between blues and soul.
Okay.
And people think of blues as being really, you know, like the low-down, cry-in-your-beer music, when in fact, a lot of the old blues songs are very up-tempo. They were dance songs, even, but would have that theme of, you know, my baby's left me, and I think I'll go kill myself after I finish this song. Yeah. So you listen to the lyrics and go, whoa, that doesn't match the music at all.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny.
But there were more songs to get you out of the blues rather than get you deeper into the blues.
Okay, so you think it was in part? I mean, if it's trying to get you out of it, it's sort of a mutual commiseration,
up tempo, and, you know, a happier sounding song that'll pull you out of that depression.
Like we're in the same boat,
sort of
deal. So here's, you know, but okay, yeah. Is that your take on it too, Mike?
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, there's songs that really express sadness, but there's other songs that just, you know, make the best of what you got.
Yeah. And tell me how this CD happened. How did you, is it because you've just been playing for a while and you said, hey, it is just time to make one, or what? What happened?
Pretty much.
Yeah, that's basically it. We've done a lot of gigs together, and we just thought we should capture this sound that we have live. And that's what we tried to do with this CD. Was it doesn't have much in the way of effects. My son Joe Rogers has a studio, and he mixed and mastered it for us, and it was really his idea to not have very much in the way of effects on it, to give it the sound that you would hear in the living room, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're really trying to make it sound just, you know, you're not trying to make it sound like a big studio production or anything.
No,
like
there's
that.
Not a lot
we're
of
not,
reverb.
We're not hoping to get a Grammy from this. We just want to get the old music out there.
You just want to get the old music out there. Okay, but you have perhaps adapted. You said that the last song that you did was an adaptation of about three different songs.
Well, three different versions.
Three
of
different
the same
versions
song.
Of the same song. Okay, so you are making decisions as to how it's going to sound best for you among those different versions.
Yeah,
that you're not trying to recreate an old sound, or tell me about that.
No, that's I guess I think of myself as a blues interpreter rather than you know, I'm not trying to capture note for note what Willie McTell or Lead Belly did, but have that flavor.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And sort of keep the style of music alive rather than recreating something that's already been done 10 or 12 times.
Now, do you only use real old source material, or do you ever hear other people that are reinterpreting the music and say, hey, I love that and I want to do that?
Oh, yeah. We do that, too. In fact, there are a couple of songs on the new CD that were written by friends of mine back in Minneapolis. Cry and Shame was written by Snaker Dave Ray, who is probably my major influence. He was my mentor. And Spider John Kerner, who actually travels out this way on occasion, he did a song called Southbound Train that I just fell in love with. I said, oh, yeah. And Mike fell in love with it. He said, we should
love
do that.
Song.
Southbound Train. Is that, number five on here, Southbound Train. Well, maybe we'll have to, I'd like to listen to some of this, but I also am enjoying talking to you guys as well, but I'm really enjoying the live stuff here because it's not often that we get a chance to do that as well. I usually don't have live music in my studio, so it's really a pleasure to have you guys here.
Oh, we could give you one that hasn't been recorded since we were talking about happy songs. We haven't done Karina.
That's right.
Is this a happy song?
This is one that's been
kind of
a lot of different ways, Corina. But we have our own version of it with
a lot of different ways. Is it a Delta Blues song?
I'm playing this on kazoo, and it's actually, I'm not sure where the real roots of this song were.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Dylan did a version of it that's totally different than anything I encountered when I was down south. I actually learned this song originally from a lady by the name of Juanita Sims, who I met down in Nolanville, Texas. Everybody in the family played an instrument. She was the youngest, and there weren't any instruments left, so she played comb. And she blew my socks off. But
isn't comb when you put a little piece of paper over
tissue paper and comb.
She's the only virtuoso comb player I ever met.
Virtuoso comb player. That's excellent.
I started doing this on the kazoo, and I always think of Juanita when I do it because, man, I could never match what she did.
And ours is really kind of a jug band style. This song was done in the 50s. It's part of the rock and roll era, but ours goes back. It's more of a jug band feel to it.
No kidding. Hey, let's hear it. This is awesome. Karina.
Okay.
Here on Local Folk.
Corina, Corina, where you been so long? Corina, Corina, where you been so long? Ain't had no loving, honey, since you been gone. I got a bird that whistles, got a bird that sings. Hear that bird, got a bird that whistles, got a bird that sings. Ain't got Corina, I don't mean a thing. Corina, Corina, where you been so long? Corina, Corina, where you been so long? Ain't had no loving, honey, since you been gone. I love Corina, but you know she can't be true. Corina, Corina, honey, where you been so long? Where you been so long? Corina, Corina, where you been so long? Ain't had no loving, honey, since you been gone. Ain't had no loving, mama, since you been gone. Ain't had no loving, honey, since you been gone. Where you been, Corina?
Super enjoyable to listen to. Serious, very much. I thought you said it was happy. He didn't get any loving.
but it's a happy tune.
It is definitely a happy tune. I love the back and forth with the kazoo, which almost you could have done that with, like, it's almost like a trombone or any number.
That's
of
what Tampa Red used instead of a trumpet because they couldn't afford a trumpet in the band, so I got a kazoo instead.
Hey, I tell you what, whatever works. That sounded great. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Very cool. Hey, if somebody wanted to do this around here, where do they do it? They have to just buy the records and figure it out, or what?
I guess so.
That's how I did.
Yeah.
Oh, going back to what's happening in the area, I should mention this. A friend of mine is playing at the Dolphin Striker tomorrow night. Dan Stevens is a blues player from Connecticut that does a pretty hot show, too. If you like the style of blues we're doing.
He does a similar a genre of blues,
yeah,
would you say?
Yeah, he ramps it up a little bit with his stage yeah. Apparatus.
Stage apparatus, sure. Okay.
With the lights and the hi-hat, cymbal, and drum. But yeah, the same Delta blues. Yeah. He plays the diddly bow and a cigar box guitar on top of it.
So, oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I've seen those before. You know, the Dolphin Striker is a nice, intimate place to go to listen mm-hmm. to different kinds of music. It's actually pretty cool. In case anybody has not been down there, you know. But I'm always telling people, just get out there and do something, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
And if you're enjoying this music that's going on right now, you could enjoy what might be happening tomorrow with a little drums yeah. and added everything. Or you could go out there and get yourself a kazoo and get yourself the new Going Home record by Poor Howard Stith and Mike Bullfrog Rogers. Where can they get this?
Well, we just got it out. Howard is in the process of getting it, so you can buy it from his website.
What is your website?
Just www.poorhowardstith.com.
Okay, and that's STITH, poorhowardstith.com.
Yeah. Like Smith, only Stith.
Smith, but Stith, that's right.
We might have a couple copies out in Bull Moose Music as well.
Okay.
And Baldface Books up in Dover.
Baldface Books in Dover and Bull Moose. And you guys do anything like sticking this on the iTunes or anything?
We're going to get it up. We'll have sales online probably within the next week or so.
Okay, yeah. Oh, excellent. Okay, also, if anybody wants some any info besides going to Poor Howard Stith, you could email me at scarrigan, SCARRIGAN, at WSCAFM.org. And I can put you in touch with any number of our guests.
And I have a website also.
Okay, yeah, please tell me about that. Is that this other one right below here, Harmonica Workshops?
That's it, Harmonica Workshops.
Do you run workshops?
I do. Beverly and I put them on. We work in a lot of the adult ed programs here in the area, and we've done them for private parties, office events.
So this is where you would learn.
And it's really, it's an introductory workshop. It's like a one-night workshop, just kind of a fun thing. But I also give lessons, private lessons.
Well, tell me about that. Tell me about this harmonica workshop. So you show up with a box full of harmonicas?
Yeah,
what happens?
So the people that sign up get a harmonica. It's a blues band harmonica made by Hohner. It's a nice little harmonica.
Okay.
Teach a couple of simple songs and some techniques on holding and playing. And it's just a lot of fun. You know, they learn just a very simple one-night introduction, kind of wet their whistle if they
yeah no but that's but sometimes that's what people need. When's your next workshop going to be?
We have one in New York, and that's coming up the 26th, I believe, which is a Thursday night at
27th.
It's, I think it's either the 26th or 27th at York High School, and if you call the adult ed program there, they can, you know, you can sign up for it. They have the date.
That's great.
It's a Thursday night, whatever that is. That must be the 27th.
Let's see. I'll look at my calendar because honestly, that's a super cool thing to do. You go, you get yourself a harmonica. Do you learn a?
Oh yeah. That's the crowning.
Absolutely.
That's the piece de resistance. You know.
That's what you need to learn. I think.
Right. You learn that, and then you can write your own songs.
And then you can write your own song.
That's right.
Oh, it's in Wells. It's in Wells.
Oh, it's in Wells,
okay.
Not York. I'm sorry.
Okay, Well, contact me here at the station. We got to get somebody to sign up for this. I have a gig that I have to do, or else I definitely would, because I think harmonica is a pretty cool thing. And listening to you on this, but the both of you together, did Howard, you ever participate in this and play backup for him or anything like that?
Not on the workshop.
No, it's just
that's a teaching one.
My wife Beverly helps me out, and it's just the two of us. So
this is good. This could really help jumpstart somebody if they were interested in that. And that is so the two websites. If you just want to go and get the and pick up the CD and listen to more of this stuff and learn more about the Delta Blues, not just, but you can go to poorhowardstith.com. And you can get that information. Or if you're interested in the harmonica and you're interested in learning a bit about the harmonica, you can go to www.harmonicaworkshops.com. And there's going to be a workshop coming up in Wells where you get to learn. You get your own harmonica, and you get to learn from one of the best harmonica players around here.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you walk away going, ha, 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 ha. I'm living up here in Wells. Ha, 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 ha.
You got it.
Yeah, that ain't ringing no bells. All right. Cool. All right. See, I'm already on my way.
Right. That's right.
Listen, we have just a few minutes to go. In fact, I'm going to have to play. I'm going to lead us out of here with a song, and I've got about 4 minutes, so we can actually play something off your CD, or you can play a little piece of something, and then we can play something off the CD. We can go two and two, whatever you like to do. But
let's see, do we have a short one?
I don't know.
Then we could go out with Going Home off the CD.
That's what I like to do. Why is it called Going Home, by the way?
It's actually an old Charlie Patton gospel song. Going Home, I'll Meet You on the Other Shore.
Very cool. All right, we'll listen to that when we leave, but give us another quick quickie here.
Hindenburg?
Oh, that's pretty similar.
Good point.
What about King Street Blues?
Can't do it.
Oh.
Wrong tune.
Or Fingerprints or Books in My Pillow?
Sure. That's a sure one.
Yeah.
It's an old Memphis Mini song called Fingerprints Blues. This is our CSI song.
Very cool. CSI, what does that mean? Sorry.
Crime Scene Investigation.
Crime Scene Investigation.
Fingerprints
okay.
Blues.
Oh, Fingerprints Blues. Okay. Oh, boy. Poor Howard. Now I know why.
Well, I'm a good child, but now I'm prison bound. Oh, I'm a good child, now I'm prison bound. You know by that they have got my fingerprints down. Oh, when they found my gun, they found my switchblade knife. Say, when they found my gun, they found my switchblade knife. And you know by that they have got my fingerprints twice. And now I'm ducking and dodging, rolling from town to town. Said I'm ducking and dodging, rolling from town to town. My friends have all left me because my fingerprints have been found. Oh, yeah. Can't come to the courtroom, come to these prison walls. Said if you can't come to the courtroom, come to these prison walls. You can see for yourself how bad company will let you fall.
Nice. Fingerprints. It was short, but alas, we are actually out of time, and I have to, we're going to segue into Under the Radar, which is going to be a big boatload of vinyl music coming on up next. I've got his starter headed up. Hey, thanks a lot, Howard.
Thanks for having
us. Mike,
thanks for coming on. Steve.
Thanks for sharing with us. It was a little bit different. I usually don't get to have this awesome live music in here, and certainly not the blues, but I'm going to be looking a lot more for the blues, especially this folky blues right here on Local Folk. And
say hi to Elizabeth for us.
Yes, I will say hi to Elizabeth, and look forward to hearing you all next time and seeing you around here in the Ports of Therry here on Local Folk. See you next week.